Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme. Hello, Greg.
What's going on, Rick? One last crack at it, just the two of us here. Been a fun week.
Yeah.
And this is a fun day. I mean, I guess I got to say, what a week.
What a week. And it might not have ended in the way we thought it was going to end, but let's see how it started. And Greg, we'll just talk about the scoring conditions for this Sunday. You know, the pins were in a little bit more difficult spot. The golf course played a half shot over par, which was the second most difficult of the week, and nearly a shot and a half more difficult than Saturday. So there were a couple of low scores out there, but not nearly as prevalent as they were on moving day.
No, and especially in the morning, it was a lot windier as well. Difficult for players to get the right distance. There was a lot, you know, more challenging caddy discussions. And because those hole locations were on the edges near a lot of runoffs and roll-offs, players had to hit really good shots to 30 feet a lot more often. So it was a much more difficult day, especially early on. And, you know, by the time the wind, it seemed, you know, the sun kind of came out a little more, wind died down a little bit more, some players were able to get it going, but those hole locations are hard to hide.
They certainly are. Now, no real problems from Denny McCarthy early on Sunday. He made bogey on the first and quickly turned it around. He made birdie on four, birdie on six, eagle on seven, added two more on his second nine. It was a 5-under 66. He ended up finishing 9-under par. Greg, I look at his week, 71, 67, 71, 66. He's going to rue those 71s a bit, especially because Saturday 71 was losing quite a bit to the field.
Yes. Very difficult day, disappointing day on Saturday, but made up for it today. And I'll tell you, Rick, he didn't do this the way you would typically see a Denny McCarthy 66. I mean, all of those circles, whether they're birdies or eagles, every single one of them was inside of 6 feet. Which is pretty cool. I mean, he started flagging and he missed a couple inside of 10 feet. So he had a real opportunity to take this one really low. You know, he made, I think the longest putt he made was about 19 feet. But ultimately this was a great day of iron play for Denny McCarthy and was able to really give himself some easy birdies. Even an easy, I mean, that shot into seven was sweet. A tap in eagle pretty much is really nice.
Certainly is, not that I would know from experience. Denny McCarthy first in the field in strokes gained approach on Sunday, only 23rd in putting. This guy stinks at putting.
Could really roll
the rock a little bit better. Denny McCarthy gave the blueprint to KH Lee, and this was really kind of like the next best round, right? You had the five under 66 from Denny was two shots better than any other round on the golf course on Sunday. KH Lee, we joked about it on Saturday, kind of getting himself in form for a chance at a three-peat next week. And yeah, that's kind of exactly what he's doing. A three under round of 68, no bogeys on the card. And he's going to head to his favorite place on the PGA Tour schedule.
no bogeys is great for KH Lee. That was a different round than what we saw on Friday. Remember, I mean, I really liked what I saw out of him on Friday, but this round was not the same ball striking. He had to scramble a whole lot more, which perhaps some of that is the difficulty of the hole locations, the difficulty of the wind. But all in all, he was able to make the saves when he had to. He just didn't give himself as many opportunities as, say, a Denny McCarthy. So 68 was really a really good score considering the way he played. He got a lot out of his round today. But when you look kind of a little wider view at him for the week, he had 55 greens of regulation, which is a great sign. He was 27th in strokes gain approach and led the field today in strokes gain putting and ended up fourth for the week. That's going to be a really important thing next week. He had 55 greens this week. Next week, you're going to see a lot of players hitting 60 or more. And if he wants a three-peat, he's going to have to be one of them.
Craig, was it last year at TPC Craig Ranch that you said that Corey Connors was going to hit 66 greens in regulation? Do you remember that?
Yes, I don't think so. This might have been – was it like
– because they're huge greens. I know why you like. Maybe
it might have been. I think it. For some reason, I feel like it was the Olympics.
He missed like seven on Thursday.
And yeah, it was over right away. Over immediately. But hey, sometimes you got to fire out a hot take.
Listen, I appreciate it, and it's still giving us content till this day, so it's all good. Throw it to you, Josh. Who do you want to talk about next?
He's Ricky away.
Fowler. Oh. That was the setup. Yeah, Ricky Fowler. Yes, that's right. Ricky goes 68-69 on the weekend. Includes actually Greg bogeys on both 16 and 17, but a T14 for Ricky, and the good play continues. He has not missed a cut since Las Vegas. He has piled up top 20, top 15 finishes. Since then, I don't know if we have officially declared it at any point, but I think it's fair to declare Ricky's back.
Yes, he is back. And I would argue he's been back for a little while, right? Ricky, even when he was playing really well, was not a guy who regularly won on the PGA Tour. I mean, five wins total in a pretty long career. When he got started in 2010. So it's not like in order for Ricky to be back, he's got to win, but this is the kind of performance that we saw from Ricky Fowler when he's making Ryder Cup teams and President's Cup teams and finishing top five in all four majors. It's a really well-rounded game. And while today he didn't hit the ball as well as he had earlier in the week, or has been so far this year, only hit 10 greens today. He was able to make up for a lot of that with his putting. This for the week as a whole, he led the field in scrambling, was 10th in strokes game putting and fourth for the day. So look, there's a lot of ways Ricky Fowler can attack a golf course. He just hasn't quite put it all together yet to give us that really low round, which I didn't think was going to be necessary. I didn't think at the beginning of the week you'd have to shoot a 63 or 64 like Xander and Wyndham Clark did in order to contend. And I thought that was a really good thing for Ricky because we could get a performance like this. I just thought it would get him a little closer to the lead.
And to be clear, you know, him putting well again, I think is a really good sign. I thought one of the bigger concerns, you know, like 2 years ago when he was going through the swing changes and everything else, is he lost the putter for an extended period and he was trying a new flat stick seemingly every single week. And when you get away from your DNA like that, it is a really big concern. And a lot of guys take quite often to get it back. He's putting well again. I don't mind, you know, I don't always love seeing a guy gain like, oh, I gained five strokes putting for the week, but like that's Ricky's DNA. It's all good in this scenario.
Right. It's a good thing when Ricky Fowler does that. But it's also, you know, he starts to lose it with the golf swing and loses it with the putter at the same time. And I don't think that can be ignored. I think he put a lot of pressure on his putter when he started to hit the ball poorly. And when he started to miss a lot of greens, when he didn't give himself birdie looks, he's always putting with his back against the wall. And I think that affected his statistics. So, you know, I know he went to this new putter that has really worked well for him, but I do feel like Ricky's putting was a result of the struggles tee to green. And as that stuff started to come back, all of a sudden his abilities with the putter kind of reignite.
Reignite is what we are going to do with this conversation and talk about the guys at the top of the leaderboard. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
And we're back. Now, let's talk a little bit about Adam Scott. He ends up finishing T5, 11 under, and Sunday's final round, Greg, says even par, but it was a lot more eventful than that. Three birdies, two bogeys on the front. Two birdies, three bogeys on the back. So lots of squares and circles, but you add it all up, it's a 71 for Adam Scott.
It's 71 for Adam Scott. Some, you know, disappointing mistakes today. I thought he was off the green a couple of occasions and hit putter from kind of a ways away. I mean, it almost was like he was playing a British Open at times. It cost him on 17 when he hit the sprinkler head. And there were a couple of other moments early in the round where, you know, actually Mark had a great call on one, which must have been on, it was in on the back nine a little bit earlier, maybe 13 or so. He had a long putt from the front of the green, and Mark said, this is a long way to go with that putter. And he ended up coming up short. So, you know, there were some disappointing aspects of Adam Scott's game today, and he couldn't really keep any momentum going. Made some birdies, but there were just too many mistakes.
Terrell Hatton, I'll tell you what, if you want to get yourself a Terrell Hatton golf ball, there are a lot in the bodies of water surrounding Quail Hollow, because every time they showed him picking a golf ball out of the cup, Greg, he was launching it, not backhanding it, not rolling it, like full on, like, I don't even know, like Yasiel Puig, like from the outfield, throwing a guy out at the plate, chucking it into the water.
Into the depths. Yes. Yeah, there were, you know, this is a great week for Tyrrell Hatton.
It was a great week.
He got frustrated. It wasn't just throwing the balls in the water, but I mean, he was giving the bunkers a beating too all week long. It seemed like every time he was in a bunker, whether it was a fairway bunker or a greenside bunker, he was smacking the sand after hitting a shot. And look, we laugh this off in a way because it's a Tyrrell being Tyrrell. But when you get him in contention, this stuff comes into full effect. And you really get to watch it a whole lot more. You don't have to watch on PGA Tour Live, right? It's on the broadcast and it's covered and he talks about it and he's animated and frustrated. So it's, it was good fun, but really a pretty high quality week from Tyrrell Hatton. This was good stuff.
Yeah, T3, 12 under par, 7 shots off the lead, but that a lot of guys were that far off the lead. And he will be in the field next week and probably be one of the favorites. So someone will keep an eye on there. Okay, let's talk about the big two here. The match play situation, the two-horse race, if you will, here, Greg. And we'll try to take this a little bit chronologically because this tournament came down to Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark. And the first 7 holes were very much in the favor of Xander Schauffele. Xander made birdie on 3 and birdie on 7. Wyndham Clark made a bogey on 1 and a par on 7. That's a par 5. And that is the, I guess that's a 3-shot swing over the first 7 holes, which actually nudges Xander out in front. And you're thinking, okay, the guy with the pedigree, the top 10 player in the world, has just snatched the lead away from a guy who's never won before on the PGA Tour, and it's over. Wrap it up. Xander Schauffele, another win. Good job. Go home.
Yeah, it looked like that. And yet, ringing in my ears after this takes place is a line Kyle Porter has said before, that Xander's kind of allergic to the lead. And he took the lead on 7. For the first time. And on 8, he has 8 feet for birdie, a great opportunity to really slam the door home, and he misses, and Wyndham makes birdie at 8. And and from that point on, this was, he then 3-putts 9, doesn't take advantage of 10, makes bogey at 11 after short sighting himself. Wyndham did too. And Wyndham got up and down. So as soon as he touched the lead, things kind of went sideways for him. And then once he lost the lead again, he played a little better. So it's fascinating because the fall down for Xander in this event comes not only after the lead, but with all the scoring holes, with all the opportunities to take this thing. And I can't help but think if he takes advantage of 8, 2-putts 9, takes advantage of 10, that puts a lot of pressure on Wyndham Clark, and Wyndham's performance may have been affected. And he had an opportunity to really, test all this mental work that Wyndham has been doing. That's been so well documented this week. He could really have put the pressure on Wyndham and made Wyndham chase Xander instead of allowing Wyndham to battle Wyndham. And I think he missed an opportunity, and it started on 8.
I'm not going to out the person who said this to me, but it's a good line, so I will repeat it. This is not mine, but I will not cite my source. Called Xander Schauffele a professional runner-up, which I thought was dirty and not entirely inaccurate.
Yeah, I understand that. Completely understand it. And there's so much evidence that supports that. Yet he's won 7 times on tour. That's kind of the irony of this situation. But I don't know, Rick. I mean, what is it with him? Is there a does he have to be chasing from well back? Like, he's so good. He's just so good.
It is kind of a large enough sample to be like, I also just think that all things considered, Xander Schauffele's PGA Tour career is so bizarre. Right. It's how many wins does he have versus how many trophies does he have? How did he get those wins? How did he not get, how many times did he have a situation where he could have, would have, should have? It's just like the whole thing is so bizarre. Necessarily a bad way, because he's had a phenomenal career and he's probably going to continue to. And then it's like the lack of major championship win, but he's been great. The whole thing is just so bizarre. If you sat down and said, yeah, well, he's one of the top 10 players in the world, but he doesn't win enough, but he's had a phenomenal major championship career, but he's never won one. And, oh, he might have 7 wins or he might have 11. But yeah, like what are we talking about here?
I know it's really hard to understand and dissect, because, you know, part of getting into this situation where you're, what's the line, a professional runner up?
Yeah.
If you're a professional runner up, that means you're coming in second place at a lot of these tournaments, right? You're in the conversation a lot. So you don't get the, you don't get this, like the old line, you know, best player without a major. Right. They're the best player at something that takes a lot of skill in order to get there. You have to be really good to get into these conversations where you say, well, why doesn't he win more? And when you're talking about somebody with 7 wins and you're saying, why doesn't he win more? It means he's in position a lot. And you know, he's in position more than Cantlay. Right. He doesn't have the problem that Cantlay has in major championships. You know, or Sam Burns or Tony Finau or some of these other players Tony doesn't belong in that. Exclude Tony's name from that. But like a Sam Burns and a Patrick Cantlay, whose performance seems to, evade them when majors come around. It doesn't for Xander. He just hasn't closed the deal yet. And it seems like he should win more often and doesn't. But there are other players who are in that position a lot less. So it's a hard one to figure out.
The turning point came, as you mentioned, at 8. Wyndham Clark birdies 8. Xander Schauffele misses the birdie putt, makes a par. And that seemed to settle Wyndham, because then he got right back into kind of what we saw on Saturday. He birdies 10, he birdies 12, he birdies 14, he birdies 15. He runs away with this, right? I mean, it was very much a victory lap coming down the green mile in a way. I mean, he played the green mile like he had a 5-shot lead, and he did. And at the end of the day, it's a 3-under 68. He gets his very first win anywhere in the world. But I was super impressed with the resilience, the ability to kind of see one go down and then reset and take over again.
You know, even after 8, he has a, you know, putt inside of 6 feet on 9 and misses it right there. So that's another opportunity for things to get a little queasy. But again, Xander 3 putts. So there's like this, there's now Wyndham has the opportunity to battle Wyndham. And this is something he's been working on. And staying calm and slowing down. And he never had to chase Xander because of Xander's performance. And if he had, I wonder if things end up differently. But there's nothing Wyndham Clark can do about that. And he had every opportunity to allow this thing to get away. He had every opportunity to fold. And he seemed to step up every time. You know, I mean, I thought the up and down at 2 was huge for him. If he starts bogey there, things get going really fast, you know, and I think settled him a little bit. It was still a little shaky. And then all of a sudden he finds his groove, and we see the skill set that we saw earlier in the week come to life on the back 9.
Let's dive a little bit deeper into this Wyndham Clark stuff. So this was PGA Tour event number 134 for him. Gets the first victory anywhere here. And one of the things that we have very much documented over the course of 2023, Greg, is this unbelievable resurgence on the second shot, irons and wedges, and his ability to pad these massive approach numbers. So starting at the Farmers is where he started to gain multiple strokes on approach seemingly every single week. And you mentioned it, basically his top 5 or 6 all-time career approach weeks have been this year, and they've been since then. Well, he's going to add another one to that record, because he gained 8 2.8 strokes on approach. That's a new career high. I mean, again, I joked last night, whatever he found in La Jolla, we need to be bottling, we need to be selling, we got to figure it all out. But this is an unbelievable turnaround. And if he can continue this with his other skills that he already has, the ability to bomb it, the ability to roll the rock, like, that's dangerous.
Yes. And he's stayed on the PGA Tour for this amount of time because of his ability to bomb it and his ability to roll the rock. And what's kept him out of legitimate contention, what's kept him out of, any of the conversations we've had about Xander Schauffele or any of these other great players, what's kept him out of the conversations of not winning enough is not contending enough. And he doesn't contend enough because of the iron play. Now, all of a sudden, he figures that out. And now he's done it down the stretch. And I have to think that's going to go a long way for him. The official number, it's now six. His six best events of the year are his six best performances with his irons ever. And you add the RBC Heritage into that. There are two in between, right? The Genesis from 2022 and the 2019 3M Open are the only ones in between. So you're talking about seven of his best nine have happened this year in 2023. It's absolutely outrageous. And again, I mean, like you said, Rick, we'd love to ask him about what happened to your iron play. And I wonder if this is a mental approach, if this is a strategy game. It's one thing that's evident to me in the strokes gained department. We talked about it with Sungjae Im last night, I believe, where he led the field in proximity to the hole, but was in the fifth. He was like 53rd place or something approaching the green because he made a couple big mistakes. So you can gain strokes by playing smart. And I get the sense that Wyndham is gaining strokes by not losing strokes. And cumulatively, over the course of a round, that stuff adds up. And it leads to contention for him.
The other thing is he joined Club 19, which is gaining 19 strokes or more in a single tournament. That has now only been done twice this season. So he gained 19 and a half this week. The only other time this season that it's happened was last week in Mexico. Tony Finau did it. Think about the difference between the field in Mexico last week and the field that Wyndham Clark just did this in this week.
And think about the golf course.
Yeah.
Right. How much it doesn't take anything away from Tony Finau, but it just highlights what Wyndham Clark did on a major championship level golf course against a major championship level field. He tore him apart. He was by far the best player with the exception of what, five holes today. Impressive stuff.
The 19 strokes gained mark has only been achieved on the PGA Tour. This is the fifth time since the start of the 2021 season. So two full seasons and then this half of a season. So really incredible stuff. I mean, I guess, what is next for Wyndham, right? It's so unfair to start talking about that conversation immediately after getting your first PGA Tour victory. But I think, Greg, you and I are very bullish, or have been very bullish, on what we've seen in 2023. And if this is not just a hot run with his irons and wedges, and he's now this guy on the second shot, seemingly the sky's the limit.
The more I hear from him, the more I like it. This isn't some, somebody gave me a tip on the range and it clicked, and those things wear off. They're great. I wouldn't shy away from them, but they're not a sign that there are great things to come. But when he talks about the developing of the mental skills, whatever those are that he's working on, the ability to slow down, the awareness that he showed in his press conference last night. I mean, we were on air, but I got to watch it after, and he talked about how fast he gets with his swing, with his pace, with his walking. That's a level of self-awareness that not a lot of players have. And as you start to put these puzzle pieces together and really understand it, now you're talking about a skill set that is ready to shine through, right? And whatever this skill set is, can you can live up to that potential, play to that potential. And it feels like Wyndham Clark is, he certainly was at that place this week. But what I really like is it's been building toward that all year. So I don't see this as a flash in the pan. I mean, are we going to get an exhale out of Wyndham? Am I going to pick him to win the PGA? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a couple of middling events over his next couple starts. That wouldn't surprise me at all. It also wouldn't deter me from thinking that you're going to see performances like this much more, not like this week, but performances like we've seen so far this year leading up to it. I think that's going to become kind of the norm for him.
Wyndham Clark will move to fifth in the FedEx Cup standings. He will move to 31st in the official world golf rankings, and he will be in the Masters for the first time, something he has not done before. And, oh, by the way, how about this, Greg? $3.6 million for Wyndham Clark and the win this week. Do you want to guess, since joining the tour in 2019, playing 133 events before this, what his career earnings were before this week?
$417,000
for his career.
What?
For his career?
Wait, I feel like I heard that on the broadcast. I may have been trying to cheat.
Don't cheat.
No. What were they?
So he's been on the tour since 2019. He's kept his tour card, so he's got to make more.
Yeah, than right. It's probably 4.6 million?
That's getting better. Yeah, 7.4. So he made 50% of what he's made in his entire career, he made today. That's pretty sick.
That is nice, to say the least.
Wasn't there also something like, Josh is coming in. They said that was his previous biggest check ever was $400,000.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I should have done a better job listening to you. That's okay. You know. And I did
now,
hear
now
that.
See, if so my far. Wife just said something like that, you know, I should have done a better job. Finally, someone has said that to me.
Well, that should make your mistakes, right?
Yeah, right. It's usually I should have listened to you. Yeah. There's a joke that's like, you know, my wife said to me, you never listen when I talk. And I thought that was a weird way to start a conversation. I think it's pretty funny.
That is funny.
anything else on? God, I'm so close to calling it the Wyndham Championship every single time. The Wells Fargo Championship. Before I move on to our best bets and one and done,
you could call it the Wyndham Clark Championship. I don't know. I guess this last question would be: is this a? I know it's not a Ricky Fowler or a Rory McIlroy type thing, but you know, the first wins of Rory coming here, Ricky coming here, Max Homa coming here, it feels like the guys that win here for the first time, it's a significant place to win. And I do think that it's hard to win here with just a flash in the pan.
I'll tell you what, think about the careers of those guys. Right. Obviously not
after this.
Correct. Right. You've got to have, and this is without looking it up, I imagine this is the best field this event has ever had.
I would imagine as well.
Right. So a golf course that asks for a lot, guys that got their first win, ended up having and still are having really great careers. And this was the deepest field it's ever seen. I tend to agree that this is a really good sign. It's just weird because we talked about it last night. You know, there hasn't been a lot of these guys that are around for 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden find something. And then is that real or not is basically the question.
Yeah. And to know if that's real, I mean, that takes time to figure that out, right? It could be, he could have a great season with his iron play and it could regress again next season. So again, where does that leave us? But this is really significant, and it's been going on for quite a while now. So I'm watching to see, and I'm going to give him a couple of you know, probably a month or so where I'll give him a lot of space. I expect an exhale to some degree. That happens all the time with winners. But I think by the time summer rolls around, you're going to see this kind of Wyndham Clark playing a lot more often.
All right. Well, we will continue this conversation, but we'll do it in the form of our best bets and one and done recap. And we'll also look ahead to next week's AT&T Byron Nelson. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We'll recap the bets here, and we had an okay week, especially in the best bets department, but here are our matchup finishing position and outrights. Nobody had Wyndham Clark, so we whiff on those 8. Greg, you and I found the matchup winners. I had Patrick Cantlay over Rory McIlroy. I got plus money on that, and you had even money on Corey Connors over Keegan Bradley, so 2 green check marks for us.
Yeah, it got a little – Keegan put together some nice golf. It got a little close there, but Corey Connor's strategy definitely worked out. I like you picking on Rory there, but it's a risky – it's a risky one. There's something to me, but I look down that board. I see, Patrick Cantlay's plus money against Rory, but it's Rory.
Yeah. It was scary.
You went for it.
Yes. It's Sunday night. It's easy to look like a smart guy, but it was very scary on Tuesday when we
and probably Thursday after Rory shoots 68.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried about that. Although Cantlay
shot 67.
Yeah, and then never really did much after that, but Rory really struggled over the final 3 rounds. We had 2 finishing position winners. I had Taylor Moore finish inside the top 40. He did just that, continues to play great golf. And KP had Ricky Fowler to finish inside the top 20. So both of those are winners. This Taylor Moore kid, Greg, whew, my God, he can play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's, not at a Wyndham Clark level right now, but he's going to be around. He's really fun to watch because he's talented.
Opened with a 66, actually shot 71, 71, 72, but still finished T27. So that top 40 did cash. And we already talked about Ricky Fowler at T14. So that one is all good there. And then look at this. How about our best bets? 3 out of 4 green check marks. KP, the only loser here, he had Cam Young top 20. Cam Young made the cut, but ended up finishing in a tie for 59th. Others were all winners. Fowler top 20, that was mine. Patrick, no sweat on Taylor Montgomery to miss the cut. That was easy, plus 140. And you had Emiliano Grillo plus 110 to finish inside the top 40. 3 winners.
Yep, really nice hits there. I mean, Patrick calling Taylor Montgomery a little fraudulent. Maybe a little extreme, but he went for it and it's green now.
Tell you what, by Thursday morning at like 9 a.m., he was 4 or 5 over. So that was never remotely a sweat.
Yeah. It's rare that on Thursday you can look at the leaderboard before noon and say, I told you.
Yeah. He made Montgomery made 2 doubles in his first 7 holes.
Yeah. It can happen. He's got to work on that ball striking a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Okay, so a pretty good week for us. And the one and done, stinking Mark, man. Just can't get rid of this guy. So here are the updated standings. Greg, you had Cam Young. We already talked about that. T59, that was worth to you $44,600.
Yeah, this is what life in the cellar looks like. Struggling in the events where there's a lot of money to be made and not making a lot of money. That's where the separation comes from. It's just, it's happened to me all year. So it's disappointing.
Patrick went with Rory McIlroy. He was a lone wolf at a ultimate course for a horse and got a very disappointing $51,222. Getting $51,000 from Rory is a very tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, the swimmies fell off when he threw him in the pool.
I forgot about
that was not a great play. I mean, I get the position, and I'm chirping up from the cellar here. I understand the position. You're trying to make a move, and it's a good opportunity to be a lone wolf, but it's not a good play.
Sia and Kyle also had Cam Young, so they didn't get much either. The fans,
great play though.
Yeah, the fans used Victor Hovland. Victor faded a bit, especially on Sunday. He got them $65,000, so the fans did not earn much there. Kyle M is turning into – that M stands for MVP of this one and done, because Kyle M got $525,000 from Sungjae Im and snapped through the $10 million mark and is now in third place.
That had to win the week, right?
I believe it tied the week. No, it won the week.
That had to win the week. I mean, he's turning into Sungjae Im.
Yeah.
Who we picked this week. Really, really good stuff from Kyle M.
He's been phenomenal. He's been on a great run. I mentioned it earlier. He was making like $1 million on average per start, and he's like not slowing down anytime soon. So good stuff, Kyle M. I had Patrick Cantlay. Lone Wolf in second place. He was out fast on Thursday. I was thrilled. Justin Thomas got off to a slow start. Cantlay struggled over the final 3 days, got me $235,000. Mark had Justin Thomas, $353,000. So I lost $120,000 in ground to Mark here, where it felt like I was going to be able to make up a little bit of distance.
Yeah. Disappointing for him.
What happened?
Where did he go? He just a couple of 71s in the rounds where you really feel like you could make a move. He just didn't. T21 out of Patrick Cantlay feels like, I don't know. It's like Xander Shaw. I took Xander at Century. And you just feel like, man, I wish I had Patrick Cantlay later on this year. He just didn't hit it good.
So round one, he gained 2.8 strokes on approach. It was ninth in the field. Phenomenal start. He lost a half a stroke in round two on approach, 2.5 in round three, and 2.2 in round four. So he lost 4.6, 5 strokes on approach over 3 rounds.
Yeah. Not good. Still finished tied 21st.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Right. That's a sign of how good his game is. He's one of the few stars that can have shaky approach play and win and contend. And we consider him a great ball striker, even when his iron play isn't really up to the level of some of the best iron players out there. But this was disappointing.
Mm. Greg, we will head to Texas not next week, not literally you and I, but the PGA Tour will head to Texas next week. They're going to go to AT&T Byron Nelson. It'll be the final tune-up before the PGA Championship. The twice defending champion KH Lee is back for more. Scottie Scheffler is in the field. Jordan Spieth is in the field. Terrell Hatton, Hideki Matsuyama. I think those are the big names.
Did you say Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is going to be a pretty cool event. You got enough heavy hitters here. You know you're going to see a ton of birdies. Yeah. You're going to see a ton of greens of regulation.
Yeah. Maybe 66 of them from somebody.
It would not surprise me. I think there were like 8 guys last year. Not that anybody cares, but I think there were like 8 guys last year who hit 60 greens here. So, there's a lot of birdie opportunities. And the question is, can anybody make more than KH Lee?
Probably not.
It's going to be fun to watch. Seeing Scottie Scheffler in an event like this, there's no guarantee This is one, when you get these birdie fests, big names can fall very easily. Anybody can, because you can play great and get lapped, right? Go shoot four under and get lapped. That happens.
You know what I think is interesting? And my fake hat tip to these guys, you know, when they released this designated schedule and, you know, the Texas events weren't on there, whether it was the Texas Open or Byron Nelson, basically Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth were like, yeah, we're still going to play those, right? Like even meaning if we have to skip a designated event because we think it's important to, you know, promote golf and be there in our community and stuff like that. And they're living up to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jordan especially has already checked the box for the three non-designated events that he was responsible to play. I'm not sure where Scottie Scheffler is on that off the top of my head. This might be his third. But anyway, it's good stuff that they're supporting these events. You also have, it's the week before a major. Some guys really like to play and the week before. And I do think the new designated schedule has thrown the schedule for individuals in a kind of an odd spot where it's a lot more difficult to plan around just majors when you have designated events to deal with as well.
Scotty played the American Express. So that's one. And that is the only one. So this will be number two.
This will be number two. Okay. All right. So you'll probably see like a Scottish Open would be my guess.
Scottish Open is not a designated event. Yeah. I guess that
makes right.
Sense. Get over there early.
Yeah.
Do a little. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. We will be back next week. Although I am traveling and then heading straight to the PGA Championship. So I'm like out the latter half of next week, but I'll be geared up at Oak Hill and getting ready, which I'm very, very excited about.
We'll hold the fort down for you, Rick. You'll be missed. We'll try to keep things on the rails, but it usually doesn't go so well when you're gone, which is very rare.
Well, I appreciate it. And I will have some boots on the ground at Oak Hill and hopefully some nice intel, and we'll be rocking and rolling for that week. But yeah, I mean, it's, can you believe it? I mean, we're a week away from this time next week. We'll be saying next week's the PGA Championship.
Next week is the PGA Championship. We're not there yet. We got a cool event in front of us, but it's close. The second major of the year is right around the corner.
All right. Big thanks to producer Josh for all the hard work behind the scenes. Big thanks to Greg Ducharme. We rocked it three nights in a week. Him and I, very fun stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.